You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
We don't think religion belongs in the Capitol, and we don't think irreligion belongs in the Capitol. We would take our sign down if they took the manger and the other signs down.
This tree continues our commitment that I started when I became Speaker, the greening of the Capitol to fight global warming.
At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail.
Do you think the tree symbolizes anything as far as Christmas and the birth of Christ?
Yes, I do. I do. I call it a Christmas tree.
A new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Our message is meant to represent the views of those who are not religious. There aren't any gods.
Well, the Bible says God moves in mysterious ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And, of course, that's all easy to say. It's quite a different thing to, I think a lot of Christians think, to live kind of like a puppet at the end of God's string. He just yanks it arbitrarily. We don't know what he's going to do, why he's doing it, or what he has in mind. And in a way, some of that is really true about the will of God. And yet, Christ instructs us to pray, "Thy will be done." I don't think there's a Christian out there who prays that petition, "Thy will be done," without reservation. I don't. Do you? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 11th of December. Our call-in number, our pastor's roundtable for the first hour of the program, talking about "Thy will be done." 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. In the first hour, our pastor's roundtable, then we'll spend a few minutes with Wesley Smith. In Great Britain, they televised an assisted suicide. We'll see what Wesley Smith has to say about that. Not just the fact that they televised it, but the fact that it's considered to be an apt end for a life not worth living. And then we'll talk about the image of God. Dr. Nathan Jastrom of Concordia University, Wisconsin, will be our guest in the remainder of the program. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday. Pastor Heath Curtis joins us here in studio, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois. Heath, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Pastor Kirk Clayton is next to him. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoota, Illinois. Kirk, thanks for coming over.
Always great to be with you.
And on the phone, Pastor Kevin Martin. He's pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Kevin, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Pleasure to be on the show.
How are the Tar Heels, Kevin?
Looking good for national championship.
Excellent. Good for them.
Hey, yeah, Jeff, how's Mizzou looking for a national championship? No. Gee whiz. That's so sad. Okay, let's see if we can sort this out, because the will of God is at the same time in Scripture supposed to comfort us. But as I said at the very beginning, I don't know if there's a Christian who actually prays, "Thy will be done," without mental reservation, as they would say. Pastor Curtis, is the will of God, as it's laid out for us in Scripture, is it law or is it gospel? Should it frighten us or should it comfort us?
Yeah, it might be a question that goes that goes beyond the law and the gospel. In a sense, it gets us back to Eden, back before there's only a need for law to be afflicting us, or for there to be a divide between law and gospel, because sin has intervened. Sin has intervened to make part of God's work scary to us, and that's why we call his work under the law his alien work, his opus alienum. The work that God almost, and this is, we'll get into, I'm sure, a discussion of this, it's almost God's will that he doesn't want to do. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell, but he still does it It's his alien work, his native work, the work that he desires to do is to bring us all to faith in Christ Jesus and lead us into eternal life. And so today, I bet we'll get into a lot of these deep mysteries that are presented to us in the scriptures about how can God be all-powerful and yet not always get his way? Or if we're going to say God always gets his way, then how do we explain sin and God still being good? These are a lot of deep issues with God's will.
My will is pretty simple, Pastor Clayton. It is because my life is pretty simple. But God's will must, of necessity, because he's God, encompass everything. And I just don't mean the stuff that I can think of, but the stuff I can't think of and stuff that I never will think of. His will is all-encompassing. Is there any getting our minds around the scope or the capacity of this thing we call the will of God?
I am really, really glad that God is God and that I'm not, because there's no way that my feeble brain can begin to wrap around the complexities that the Lord is dealing with on an instant-by-instant basis. I have to take a detour here just for a second as you guys opened up with this engaging little dialogue about sports and championships and so on. And what you're talking about, I remember when the Rams won the Super Bowl. That seems like... long, long time ago from where the Rams are right now. But
whole different universe. Yes.
Yeah. The reason given was, at least I heard prominently on TV, that the Rams won the Super Bowl because one of their players prayed fervently that God would grant them to win the Super Bowl. And I thought, you know, aren't there people in, was it North Carolina they're playing? I forget who they're playing that year. But weren't there people in other state who were praying too? Does St. Louis win the Super Bowl because we prayed harder? How does this fit into God's will?
That's
incredibly complex that we can't begin to make heads or tails out of why God would choose this and not that. But it is his will, and it is good, and it is a blessing for us.
That's the Lou Holtz quip when Notre Dame was going to play Texas Christian. Some reporter asked him if he thought God cared who won, and he said no, but his mom does.
Pastor Martin, a lot of Christians kind of live in daily trepidation about the will of God, and the way it comes out is like this. They're told at church that they are supposed to be living within the will of God, and so they view this kind of moving bullseye in their life, and that if they don't stay inside the circle, that is, as they would think, God's will, then they're outside God's will and outside God's favor. Is that a biblical picture of God's will?
Good question. I actually, just on Tuesday morning with my little Bible study group of lay people, we were got sidetracked onto this very question. We were supposed to be looking at the lessons for the upcoming Sunday, and we got talking about Job and about how at the beginning of the book, the devil and God are talking in the heavenly council, and God says to the devil, hey, have you noticed Job? Pretty good guy. And the devil goes, well, yeah, he's a good guy, but, you know, if I took away all his nice toys, he'd curse you to your face. And God goes, I'll take that bet. And we got into this long discussion about, well, didn't God just permit that? I mean, God didn't really will that, did he? I mean, God's will is for God to for Job to prosper. It was the devil's will that he suffer. And it does get to be a difficult thing, because obviously there are people who operate outside of what God wants them to do, like the devil. But then again, God allows it at some level.
Can we know God's will, Pastor Curtis? And if so, in what sense? Obviously a limited sense. Can we know the will of God?
Absolutely. This is the question, essentially the same question that the rich young man asked Jesus. And the answer is, you've read the law. What does it say? Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. All the Ten Commandments. You want to be in the will of God? Follow the Ten Commandments.
I get really nervous when I often hear people deciding that they know for certain what the will of God is outside his revealed will, outside the word. When I hear people say, well, the Lord laid a burden on my heart that I need to quit this job and go to a different field, or I feel that the Lord is leading me to uproot my family and move someplace else. It may well be that valuable things are done if that happens, but I get really nervous when people claim that they have direct access to the will of God outside the specific and known revelation of God as to what his will is. And so I think Pastor Curtis's answer was really right on the money there, that we can have access to the will of God, but in his revealed word.
So outside a thus saith the Lord on God's will, like you've already mentioned a few, the Ten Commandments, or God would desire all men to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. Those kinds of things that are very clear from Scripture. We cannot say yes or no as to whether any given event or course of events is God's will.
Yeah, I get very nervous. My wife always makes jokes about her high school youth group, and everybody was always trying to determine what God thought about who should be dating whom. You know, is it the Lord's will that I should take you out to dinner on Friday night? And I think we should be pretty comfortable with saying in a certain way that, I mean, God doesn't care if you wear blue socks or black socks tomorrow morning. That the will of God in that sense of, I don't know if we want to get into these kind of Lutheran back of the catechism words like the narrow and the wide will of God or something. You know, that God... But there is room. Take a pastor's call. This is where Lutheran pastors tend to get, this is where we're most in danger of falling into this evangelical pietistic trap. You know, I get this call to another congregation. I tell my congregation, well, I'm going to pray to determine if it's the Lord's will that I should be serving here or in this other town. And, you know, a pity to you if God decides that this is the way, and a pity to me if I get it wrong. If I was supposed to go and I stay, I think that's the wrong way to talk.
Okay, let's take a break, and when we come back, I want to stay in that vein also to talk a bit about this little scenario. A lot of Christians will say, well, we can know what God's will is, or better put, we can know what God's will was. We have this kind of rear view mirror certainty. If it happened, it must have been God's will. But does the Bible teach that? If it happens, it must be God's will? Stay tuned. Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hands, 'cause I can't do this on my own. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Nathan Hack, Brian Georgeson, Pastor Paul Warnicki, Kathy Winterfeld, Glenn Connolly, Seth Stinnett, John Shipley, James Hageman, Kyle G., and Tom and Janice Cope. Thanks for your support.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
LCMS Inc. canceled this. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Thy Will Be Done, our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow on the program, listener email, Issues Etc. blog of the week. I better start reading some blogs because I got to pick one before tomorrow. And Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. By the way, we have those soundbites posted at our website, issuesetc.org. You can go listen to them and vote for them in advance. You'll find them all under tomorrow's on-demand audio, issuesetc.org. Click and listen, and then there's a link there to vote. Talk back at issuesetc.org, or just give it some thought and give us a call tomorrow and vote during Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, because callers always get top priority on Friday's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Okay. A lot of conversation. Boy, Pastor Martin, I wish you could hear us during the breaks, because a lot of conversation going on between the breaks. I'm trying to bring some of it forward. Without telling any stories out of school, I take it that you and Pastor Curtis have been having some conversations in the past about this very subject, about the will of God.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
And let me see if I can kick it off this way and tell me if I'm headed off in the wrong direction. I remember one time early in my pastoral ministry teaching a Bible class wherein was sitting one of my seminary professors. Thank God, because I said something like, well, we don't know God's will until it happens. And then once it happens, we know that it must have been God's will because it happened. And very gently afterwards, without embarrassing me in front of the whole group, he took me aside and he said, young man, we're not Calvinists. Just because something happened doesn't mean that God intended for it to happen. Now, will God work it together in his greater will toward good? Yes, but that doesn't mean God's will can be thwarted. He says we're Lutherans, we're not Calvinists. Your thoughts there, Pastor Martin?
Yeah, I wanted to dive in, actually, when Pastor Curtis was mentioning that we know God's will by the commandments. Even more, we know God's will by looking at how he gave up his only son on the cross. And one of the striking passages of Thy Will Be Done is the words of our Lord himself in the garden when he says, Father, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so there you see the Son is saying, I don't really want to go and die on the cross, but if it's the only way, then Father, your will be done. So you see on the one hand that God's will is that we would walk in his word and his commands, but when we step outside it, God's will is that the sinner be forgiven and brought back into the kingdom. So I think you can definitely say that there are some things that look more like things that God likes to do. God likes to see everyone walk in his word, but if they step outside, he prefers forgiveness and mercy rather than sacrifice or cutting the sinner loose forever.
Can we, Pastor Curtis, can we know God's will once it's happened? Because if it happened, it must have been God's will?
No, and this, you know, this whole question is a you know, might be a tar baby that we get our hands stuck in and leads us down a path we don't want to go. But I'm pretty comfortable saying God can lose a battle on the sixth day, because it looks like it all happened on the sixth day. God lost in the garden. He did not want Adam and Eve to eat that fruit, and they did. He's going to win the war, but he can lose some battles. I'm pretty comfortable saying that, and I think that's, for example, what St. John the Divine is getting at with the whole book of Revelation. Things are going badly. Evil is evil. God doesn't like it, but he will find a way, as you said, in his greater will, his wider will, his ultimate will, his active will, whatever term you want to use, to use even the evil for his ultimate purposes.
And it seems, Pastor Curtis, taking what you said, if we go the other direction to the extreme, that then we would even have God as the responsible agent for sin. Sin, obviously, is contrary to God's will. Sin happens, but if nothing happens contrary to God's will, then therefore sin is God's will, if my logic follows, which puts us in a position which actually is probably not far off from strict Calvinism,
right.
But it's certainly not where we want to be, right. And I certainly don't think it's scriptural.
That's the philosophical tar baby. And speaking of that point, take it over to Pastor Martin. What do you think about the fall, Kevin? How does God's will and Adam falling work? What's your take on what Luther thinks about that and the bondage of the will?
Yeah, because this is where we've had the conversation is around bondage of the will, because mm-hmm. Luther definitely seems comfortable talking about, well, there's the revealed will of God, what we see he wants to happen. And there's also this little caveat that, well, at the end of the day, whatever does happen somehow has to fit into this wider will. So like what you were saying, he didn't want Adam and Eve to fall or eat the apple, but he allowed it to happen and then worked with that.
But therein, I think, is the big challenge of understanding that there's a difference between God knowing, understanding, or allowing, and God causing.
Okay, yeah. This is where it gets troublesome for the people who pray, "Thy will be done." And this is why I said before, I don't think Christians pray this without mental reservation, in genuine, wholehearted fear, love, and trust of the God to whom they are praying. Because I'm thinking in the back of my mind, what's he going to allow to happen to me? And I really don't want it to happen. I'm going to ask it. Let's say, "Your will be done if it has to be. Come on, I mean, you're God." But I don't want it to happen. And it seems to me a genuine prayer from fear, love, and trust of God, "Thy will be done," would want whatever God is going to do or permit or however you want to put it.
I've heard it stated very bluntly and shockingly at one point. Said, "Do you want God's will to be done? Do you pray for God's will to be done? Do you really?" And, you know, he said, yeah, we want God's will to be done. And the speaker turned around and said, "Perhaps God's will for you is a slow and painful death of cancer."
There's
which is true.
Go ahead,
Pastor. There's a passage in Bondage of the Will that I keep coming back to on this one, where Luther asked this question, you know, all these bad things happen in the world, at some level God makes them happen. How do we understand that? And he says, well, if you think of God as a guy who owns a farm and he has a three-legged horse, that's what the world after the fall is like. Now, he's really got two options. The far side, that's God's to medicine. He should take the horse and shoot it. So if you don't want bad things to happen in the world, God says, I could fix that. I could do the flood, but this time I'm not going to save eight people. Luther says what God chooses to do is to let bad things happen so that he can redeem and rehabilitate that three-legged horse. So while he's in the redemption process, the riding is going to go badly, and it's not going to look like God knows what he's doing. But as the three-legged horse, it's definitely in our interest to put up with a certain amount of bad things in order that God's ultimate redemptive purpose would take place.
So you're saying that maybe even the better question is not why is the world so bad, but how does he do it so well?
Yeah. I mean, given that he's like a rider on a horse with three legs, Luther says people always ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? When in fact the question should be just the other way around. Why do so many good things happen to bad people?
Okay. Someone says, and I've heard this before, it's amazing how common this is, Pastor Curtis. Someone will say, I just found out my wife has cancer, or I just found out this terrible thing has occurred. And the pious Christian response will be, well, don't worry, God is in control. God is still in control, as though my problem is God has somehow fallen asleep at the wheel, and we're careening off the highway. I think to myself, my problem isn't that I doubt God is in control. I doubt God. I don't like the way he's steering the vehicle or directing the horse.
Right. There's one answer to that, which before you were talking a bit about Calvinism. I'm blanking on the name. He's the famous Presbyterian preacher who was at 10th Presbyterian in Philadelphia. Big, I can't remember who it was, big name. But he got a brain tumor here about 5 or 10 years ago. And he came in front of his congregation and said, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, at this point say, you know, we're going to pray, you know, for a healing that I get well. But he said, but I always thought that if God didn't want you to have the cancer, he wouldn't have given it to you in the first place. You know, that's a very, as we were talking before, a Calvinist response that's almost Hegelian, that whatever happens in history is meant to happen. God made it happen and we're done. Whereas, you know, at this point in the conversation, maybe we should talk about what we're doing when we ask for that cancer to be taken away is a lot like what we see a lot of times happen in the scriptures, where it says God repents. God changed his mind. God, he was going to do this thing, and then he decided to do another thing. And often take Abraham pleading for Sodom, a famous case.
Well, Pastor Martin, does God change his mind?
Well, he must, because Pastor Curtis is quite right. He relented. He was going to destroy Sodom, and Abraham and he talked a bit, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, if there's 10 righteous people, I won't destroy it. Of course, it turned out there was only 4, so it ended up being destroyed anyway. But he does relent from doing harm. But in terms of his ultimate will, that's where I think you always have to anchor this back in the cross, that his ultimate will is that no one would be lost, but that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of salvation. And God will continue working for that purpose. And even things that seem to be steering the horse in a different direction, Luther says that's where you buck up and you trust that ultimately God's good and gracious will be done. I notice that most of the third petition in the Large Catechism is really Luther talking about how we, when we pray this petition, what we're praying is that God would bolster us against the will of the devil and our own sinful flesh, because we seek comfort, we seek ease, and the cross is not an easy thing. Taking up the cross and losing your life is a difficult thing. It's a hard thing, and we're really praying that God would give us the strength to do that, because at the end of the day, that's where salvation is found.
Pastor Kevin Martin is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of our Pastor's Roundtable live this Thursday afternoon, the 11th of December, along with him, Pastor Kirk Clayton of Zion Lutheran Church in Muskoka, Illinois, and Pastor Heath Curtis, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, talking about Thy Will Be Done.
It was my way.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Chris Von Wyhe, Leanne Varvel, Sandy Bowers, Paula Tarrant, Julius Koth, Mary Ann Catt, Dan Devon, Calissa Alexander, and Christian Carol Still. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
For decades, Russian women have used abortion as a method of birth control. As a result, the nation is facing a critical population shortage. A Russian city near the Black Sea held an event called A Week Without Abortion. Abortions were temporarily prohibited in the city. Instead, women were encouraged to get pregnant, and a special phone number was available to offer help and support throughout the pregnancy and beyond. Universities held presentations on the physical damage abortion can do to women who have them. The event was scheduled to coincide with the Russian Day of Motherhood. This is a step in the right direction, but what Russia must do is protect by law its most precious resource, the next generation. Without ending abortion, the country is destined to die out.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support as we approach the end of 2008.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. What kind of questions or comments do you have on the petition, Thy Will Be Done, God's Will? It's Thursday, December the 11th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. All right. Where Pastor Martin left us is where I want to pick up, and that is the only real certainty that the Christian has with regard to the goodness of God's will is the cross of Jesus Christ itself. Is it folly to try and take comfort in other aspects of God's will as it's been played out? In other words, I only know that God really loves me and intends good for me because he sent his son to die for me. But he also protects me and clothes me, and he's seen me through some pretty nasty situations. And I can speak from personal experience here. Over the last half a year or so, what I expected to turn out very badly has in some ways turned out very well. And I look at that and I say, wow, God really must be watching out for me. But then at the same time, I wonder, maybe I'm fooling myself. Maybe the only certain place is still at the cross of Jesus Christ. What do you say, Pastor Clayton?
Well, I think we would be very foolish to say that we can tell for certain outside of the revealed will of God and outside the cross of Jesus Christ and his love for us that anything is definitely working for our personal benefit. You mentioned, you know, protection and food and clothing, and all these things are wonderful. But at the same time, history shows that one of the greatest adversaries of faith in the Christian church is prosperity. And so it would seem that while prosperity is a blessing from God, and I wouldn't deny that in many cases it is, it also can lead us astray in ways that are very contrary to God's will. And at the same time, it's been said that persecution is the seedbed of the church. Does God want people to suffer? Does God want people to be persecuted and die? It wouldn't necessarily seem so, and yet he uses that for wonderful, wonderful purposes. And so it would be very dangerous for us to say, well, God provided this job for me, therefore it's a good thing. It may be that step into prosperity that, frankly, we can't handle, and it leads us astray. And we may lose a job and say, well, I'm mad at God for the way he did that. And he may use that to draw us to rely further on his grace and upon his love. So I'm very, very nervous about saying that outside of the revealed will and God's love for us shown in the cross of Jesus Christ, that we can know for certain what's good and what's bad.
Pastor Curtis, Pastor Martin spoke before the break about the will that's contrary mm-hmm. to God's will, namely kind of the unholy trinity, Satan, our sinful flesh, and the world all have a will that's being exerted
right.
there as well. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, this evil will that Satan brings into the world, I think the thing I most want to say about it, if you're going to give me an open-ended question like that, is that it has to borrow. Is that evil doesn't have any substance, any stuff of its own. It's only got to twist what is good. And so take the sixth commandment. All that lust can do is corrupt love. All that pride can do is corrupt honor. And so this will that's in us, this draws us back into this greater question of, is God really in control? One of the things that the teachers in the church have often pointed to show that God really is in control is that this broken, twisted, evil will of the devil, it just doesn't have any of its own substance. It's hollow on the inside. All the devil has no new tricks. The only thing he knows how to do is corrupt and destroy. He has no truly creative power.
Pastor Wilkin, you mentioned the unholy trio of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And boy, that last one hurts, doesn't it? When we say in the explanation of the third petition in the small catechism, God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. How painful that is when we pray that and say, Lord, may your will break and hinder and stop and put an end to my will, because my will is so often contrary to your will. And I can't think of how many times I have desperately wanted something, thought it through logically, think this is the best possible thing that could happen, and doesn't happen. And I'm crushed, frustrated, heartbroken. God, why in the world didn't you agree with my will on this particular point? Whereas actually what God was doing was being very faithful to breaking and hindering every plan that doesn't agree with his own. And after a period of time, maybe a week, month, year, decade, look back and say, you know, Lord, thank you for stopping me from having my own way, and help me in the future to continually recognize that there are times that you need to tell me no, because I don't know what's best, and to break my own will my own will is part of that evil trio that you mentioned, the devil, the world, and my own sinful flesh.
Okay, getting back to the catechism that all of you have referenced and this contrary will, Pastor Martin, the Luther says that it is, in essence, the will of the devil, our flesh, and the world to prevent God's name from being hallowed and to prevent his kingdom from coming. What does that look like in real time? What is it the devil really, really wants? If his will is can only be expressed as a distortion of God's goodwill, what does God, what does the devil want against us?
Well, what he really wants is that the gospel of the cross would not be preached. I mean, what he really wants is that the message that Christ has died for sinners and there is a way back into the garden that we were driven out from, that is what Satan wants to stop. Now, anything that contributes to that at all, whether it's distorting or twisting God's will as it's revealed in the Ten Commandments, the devil's an opportunist. I mean, he'll use whatever he can to weaken our confidence ultimately in the gospel. But that's what he wants. He wants something very simple, that the love of Christ revealed in the cross and the message that there is forgiveness and reconciliation would not be preached, and when it is, it would not be believed.
Okay, so Pastor Curtis, does that mean that there's a church open on Sunday morning and it's packed to the gills with people, mm-hmm. and they're all very happy and they're all very enthusiastic, but Christ isn't being preached there? They will walk away that morning having heard nothing of Christ and his cross. Does that mean the will of Satan was done there that day? I mean, no one was dancing around a bonfire.
No, carrying
pitchforks.
No, absolutely. In fact, Luther has a great little comment when he's looking around at how poorly the evangelical movement, the Lutheran movement, if you will, in Germany is doing in the 16th century, and how full and rich and great the Pope's churches are looking. And Luther's quip is, Satan's church is always more full than God's church. Narrow is the way that leads to life. We shouldn't be surprised at such things.
Numerical success and popularity are no measures whatsoever of walking in God's will.
But you know that the calculus of the church growth movement today is, if people are coming in, we must be doing something right, and it must be, as they would say, a term that I've come to loathe, it must be a God thing the church is full.
You mentioned calculus. That's a math thing. I don't really think God does math very well. I mean, 1 + 1 + 1 in the Trinity equals 1. So I'm not sure we should talk about math and God's will.
You know, they make an assumption about the Lord's will. They assume, their assumption is that it is the Lord's will for his church always, in all times, in all places, to be numerically growing. Is that always the Lord's will? I mean, that's a good question.
And the revealed will of God to that question, the answer is clearly no. Throughout the Old Testament, it is not the masses that carry forth God's will, it's the remnant. The masses are destroyed and carried away. It's the remnant that is faithful and walking in God's will. When that question is posed that way, is God's will for growth and success? The revealed answer is no.
Pastor Martin, a minute and a half for your thoughts here before our break.
Well, one of the thoughts that I had is going back to what we were saying before is, you know, how do Christians then understand when good things happen? Is that God helping them, or is that the devil tricking them? Should they hope that they have a difficult life or an easy life? My answer when people, you know, ask me something like that, because I get this question from lay people in Bible studies a lot, is that the nice thing about being Christian is you win either way. When good things come to you and your life is prosperous, you see it as gifts of a loving Heavenly Father and you give thanks. When calamity and disaster happens and your 401k turns into a 201k, you go, well, that's God teaching me to put my faith in the cross a little more, and that's good too. So the nice thing about some of these questions is that you don't really have to decide yes or no in true Lutheran fashion. You can just say yes to the either-or question. God will work it all for the best. And ultimately, it comes back comes back to the cross. That's how we know this. If he gave up his only son for us, then he'll work everything, good, bad, pleasant, unpleasant, for our good too.
We're talking about thy will be done. Of course, the phrase goes on, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to talk about that in the last 10 minutes. What does that mean? I mean, in heaven, the trains all run on time. In heaven, everyone snaps too when God says something. In heaven, all is obedience. All is the way God wants it to be. But on earth, none of the trains run on time. No one snaps too, and no one listens to God. Sounds like a futile prayer. We'll be right back with our pastor's roundtable. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Susan Hilgert, Tony Catrona, Larry and Penny Middendorf, C. Elizabeth Melecta, Eric Tarvanen, Lon Weimer, Lena Armuth, Diane Xenia Moose, Robin Lewis, and Mike Kirchhoff. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Folks, help us promote Issues Etc. in your congregation. It's really easy. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Click promote, copy and paste the weekly Sunday bulletin blurb. I'll just call it a blurb. It's a paragraph, but that sounds so formal. It has everything that your congregation needs to know about what we've been talking about on Issues Etc. Promote at issuesetc.org, and you'll find it there. Click promote. It's our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Kevin Martin, Pastor Kirk Clayton, and Pastor Heath Curtis. We're talking about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Do you struggle when you say, thy will be done in the Lord's Prayer? 1-877-623-6943, talk back at issuesetc.org. Okay, I was telling the guys in the studio here, and I think many people don't know this about me. I call myself Mr. Recrimination, because I never know whether I'm doing the right thing, the best thing. I'm always just kind of proceeding on my best knowledge. There are two things in my life, I must say, that I'm rock solid certain about with regard to whether this is God's will. The woman that I wake up next to every morning, my wife, I have no doubts as to whether or not she's my wife, I'm her husband, and that's the way it ought to be with our children. And the diploma of vocation from the congregation that I have, that says, you are our pastor. I do not doubt either of those things. But I doubt just about everything else in my life.
I
never make a decision fully confident of what I'm doing.
I would add about three more things to that list of what I am absolutely certain about. Number one, when 36 years and about a week ago, a pastor held me in his hands and said, Kirk, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I was made God's child. That is God's will. I am baptized. Second, when a pastor places his hand on me and says, Kirk, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. I am absolutely certain of that. That is God's will through that act to take away my sins. And third, when the body and blood of Jesus Christ are placed on my tongue, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That is God's will, and I am rock certain that in that moment I am receiving God's grace and forgiveness. So I would expand your category just a little bit there, but yeah.
I will add those things to my list.
And that brings us to what's always an interesting question when you look at each and every one of these petitions, which is, how does God answer this prayer? And I don't want to steal too much thunder from your next two topics, but think for a minute of the fourth commandment. What if there were somebody who sat in his house all day long in his Barca lounger and prayed the fourth commandment, give us this day our daily bread, and unfolded his hands and expected a sandwich to be there? You know, you think that guy's an idiot. That's not how God answers the fourth petition. He answers the fourth petition through farmers and ranchers and grocery stores and employers and money and so forth.
And doesn't Paul tell the Thessalonians, get off your lazy rear ends
right. And
go do something
about that? And it's the same here. How is ultimately thy will be done? How does a God answer the prayer to break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, your sinful flesh? He answers it in the divine service. He answers it with absolution. We're not a mystical religion. We expect real answers to these petitions.
And someplace else that we can go through, you just said, talking about the man who's reclining in his chair expecting food to fall from heaven in response to his prayer, something else that, again, getting back to the understanding that we never can be absolutely sure as to see how the Lord is working, but I would suggest that in answer to other people's prayers as well, or the prayers for food or daily bread and so on, that God uses his people as his instruments as well, and he can use us to be a blessing to those around us.
Well, that was the very question I was going to propose to you, Pastor Martin, and that is, does God's will take shape in the vocation, the place in life that he puts each and every one of us, and does that place where he puts us and the neighbors that he surrounds us with, to a great extent, answer at least provisionally the question, what does God want me to do here and now?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I was looking at how Luther wraps up this petition in his last paragraph in the Large Catechism, and he says, just one or two Christians armed with this single petition, thy will be done, is our bulwark against which all the others will dash themselves to pieces. And he says, okay, there's a lot of people in the world who think they're powerful and think they're getting their way. We know that finally, at the end of the day, Christ is done, and his kingdom will come. And in whatever ways in our vocation that no matter how small or insignificant it may look, we're definitely on his side there, proclaiming his forgiveness and sharing that with our neighbors, we are instruments by which the kingdom is coming and his will is being done.
So does thy will be done look like a mother changing diapers or a father mowing the grass or a mechanic fixing a car? Or a bus driver driving people around?
Yeah, I'd say it looks like all those things, but I think even more, maybe God's signature move, if he has one, is when somebody does something really bad to you and you turn around and you say, but I forgive you. That is ultimately something that the devil has no response to.
It is so difficult, Pastor Curtis, to look at the world around us and have confidence to say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the world that I look at around me and my own life looks nothing like what I think God's will ought to be. It just doesn't appear. that God's will even makes it up above the surface.
Hmm. Yeah, the Lord's Prayer teaches us that, and Luther does this, Luther the teacher in the Small Catechism does this better than anybody else, I think, in Christian history, where he takes all these first three petitions and he says, God's going to do it anyway. God doesn't need your prayer. God's going to do his will. He's going to do his thing. But we pray in this petition that we may receive it with thanks, that it may come among us also. And to answer a different angle on your question, it also teaches us to pray for things we already have. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer with a full stomach? Well, did you leave out the fourth petition that time? Because you already had your daily bread that day. No. And so the whole prayer teaches us a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of yearning. And this is a good time of year to think about the third petition as a prayer of yearning for the Lord's kingdom to come once and for all to earth, that the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ would return to bring finally and fully the kingdom of God in heaven and on earth, and that they would meet once and for all, which is the point that a traditional church architecture makes with the altar being lifted up. You know, this is heaven and earth meeting. This is the Son of Man being lifted up upon the cross, and then lifted up also in the divine service, again, where we flee to the wounds of Christ.
Pastor Martin, last question goes to you. What is the comfort that we find in the prayer that Christ has given us, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? About 30 seconds for response.
I think the comfort is just that we know this prayer is fulfilled when this Sunday we go to our church, even if it's just a handful of people, and we hear Christ's forgiveness proclaimed, his body and blood given out. His kingdom has come in that place. As it's come to us, we have his promise that it will come into all the world.
Pastor Kevin Martin is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
Pastor Kirk Clayton, here in the studio, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoda, Illinois. Thanks for coming out this afternoon.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
And Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois. It's always good to see you. Thanks for coming over.
Had fun as always.
Well, it can startle us. It can scare us. It can confuse us. I'm very glad that God keeps his own counsel. He's never asked my advice. He only seeks this prayer, thy will be done. Why does he seek it? More for my comfort than for his counsel. He doesn't need to be told that his will ought to be done. He knows full well what his will is. He doesn't often share it with me, but in those places where he does share it with you and with me, he is so utterly clear that there are things beyond question, beyond doubt. His love for us in Jesus Christ, it cannot be questioned. It is revealed so starkly in the shed blood, the dead body of his Son there at the cross, and in the resurrection wherein God says of Christ's sacrifice, it is sufficient, it is all. And we never need doubt this. In fact, your whole life can be falling apart. Your whole life can be a big series of question marks when it comes to what's God doing and what's he up to. And that need never be a question mark, what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And he's put you in this place, in this place in life, to live before him by faith, that is, seeking always his will through Jesus Christ and loving your neighbor as Christ has loved you. And he doesn't say you're going to know exactly where his will is the next step. He simply says, here I've put you, there's your neighbor. Here I am, your God, who forgives you for the sake of my Son, Jesus Christ. And there's your neighbor, love him for Christ's sake as well. And that's all the better we get in this life. One day we may or may not understand how it all works together. But don't worry, God does understand how it all works together. And he's shown us this in his Son, Jesus Christ. In the next hour, we'll talk with Wesley Smith about a televised suicide in Great Britain and the image of God. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693.
You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.